It's KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. Writer Jana Boomersbach has been a real-life award-winning investigative reporter, but her latest book gives her the opportunity to fictionalize herself and her career and put her protagonist, Joya Bonner, right in the middle of danger to use journalistic skills to stop Sammy the Bull Gravano. The mystery is called Funeral Hot Dish, and Jana Boomersbach joins me now to talk about it. Hi, Jana.
Hi, Steve.
So I guess I wasn't making too much of a leap there, right? JB. how much does this protagonist have you in it?
Well, it's probably loosely based on me. She's younger, thinner, and has more sex than me. So that's the start. She's loosely based on the idea of a female investigative journalist who's pretty gutsy and pretty feisty and pretty fearless, but who has lots of flaws, as we all do. But she gets right in there, and man, she just goes to town. And she's in Phoenix, Arizona working, but she's from North Dakota. And her family's still back in North Dakota. And there's a huge crisis. A girl dies in North Dakota, which throws her little town, her little safe, wonderful, Midwestern, lowest crime rate in the nation kind of town, into this turmoil. And she discovers there's a horrible connection between the story she's working on in Phoenix with Sammy Gravano.
Yeah.
And so she goes on and tries to, first she deals with the Sammy Gravano story. Then she goes on and tries to go home and help her dad and save her town and do all that. So,
wow, that's quite interesting. So Sammy the Bull Gravano, now this is someone, have you met him before? Do you?
Well, he's a real life person.
Absolutely.
He's the mafia guy that had turned on, became state's evidence, and then was sent out to Arizona under the Witness Protection Program. And then they discovered, under the noses of the FBI, the Phoenix Police Department discovers, this is all true, that he is heading up the largest ecstasy ring in the country, in the Southwest, with his son and another guy from Chandler. And right. So they try to get him. And they go through a long process of investigating him and trying to trace the money and stuff. Well, I did a huge story about this after it was done because the Phoenix PD was rightfully very proud of itself for having pulled this off with the FBI under their noses, because everybody hates the FBI. And so I did this big story from the inside. I interviewed all the guys who were involved in it. So in this book, I put myself into that story. Mm-hmm. As a reporter. I put the reporter, Joya, into that story. So as though she's helping uncover it as it goes along. And so she goes on that journey of discovering what happens with Sammy and how they can catch him.
As someone who's covered a lot of nasty characters over the years, what do you think about someone like Sammy the Bull? I mean, a recent film was made about Whitey Bulger.
Yeah.
And there's this feeling that some of these people are anti-heroes. But when you think about, obviously, in the fictionalized version of the story with North Dakota and all, and the deaths that drug use and drug abuse can lead to, as someone who has dealt with some of these real life characters, how does it make you feel as a human being? Do you feel like, oh, I feel terrible that these people get sort of put on this pedestal in some way when they're committing these terrible, they're interesting people perhaps, but they've done these terrible things.
Right. Sammy the Bull Gravano had killed 19 people. He admitted to killing 19 people. He got a bye for killing 19 people, so that they could put John Gotti in prison. Now, I think that's a huge price to pay for getting a mafia guy in prison. And I think the tiny little thing he got, the little 5-year sentence he got for that crime, is like obscene. I mean, I don't see how you cut those kinds of deals, right? So he comes out here under the Witness Protection Program. And as you know, this is the dumping ground. If you don't know this, this is the dumping ground for all the Witness Protection Program guys. I mean, they're all kind of out here. They're probably neighbors. And here he comes out here, gets a whole second chance at life, right? He gets a new identity, a new relocation. He gets money. He gets protection. He gets all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And he turns around and gets involved in crime all over again. So, I mean, it's like you don't change the spots of a leopard, you know? And he claims that he got involved because his son was involved before he knew it, and so he got involved to try to protect his son.
Mm-hmm.
And that part of that, I think, is true. I think that he indeed was extremely upset that Gerard, his son, had gotten involved in all this stuff. His whole family was involved in it. Most of them walked, except him. And he said that he, was trying to protect his son, but, the way to protect your son is to pull him out of the drug deal, not to become the mastermind behind the drug deal. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so
yeah.
That perverted sense of wrongdoing really turns me off.
So in your book, Funeral Hot Dish, is he without question a 100% bad character?
99.9%.
Okay.
I do give him his fatherly little, I let him spiel that, right? Okay. Because I do think that was genuine. And when I covered this story originally, that was the only moment that I thought there was a tinge of, I understand why he did this, or I understand one step of why he did this. Mm-hmm. But no, he's definitely a bad character.
So the newspaper business is struggling. That's mm-hmm. where, even though you've did a lot of magazine reporting as well, that's where people think, I think, about investigative reporting. And even the new film Spotlight, of course,
right.
shines a spotlight on investigative reporting and what teams can do. Do you think we're going to see a renaissance of investigative reporting even as the newspaper business pulls back? Are there going to be more sources for people to read that kind of stuff, that really in-depth, hard-hitting stuff?
I think so. And I think that was the big mistake that newspapers made about a decade ago. When they started really having trouble, what they decided to do is mimic a television or radio show and give you the headlines and give you the basics information. You already had the headlines. You already had the basic information. You didn't need that. What you needed to know was, why in the hell is this happening? Mm-hmm. How can government be this out of kilter? How can these people be this out of step with the rest of the society? What is going on behind the scene? How in the world can we have a Supreme Court that declares that a corporation is a human being with voting rights and with free speech rights? How in the world does that happen? And I think it happens because they weren't paying attention. And so that now, when trying to go back into the depth, they're seeing that they have let down the democracy, that newspapers have for a long time abandoned their role. And now that they're trying to regain it, now they're getting back. You just had a guy on the thing who's bought another newspaper. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not an idiot. He must know that there is indeed something that's possible here, right? Well, I wish there hadn't been so many idiots a decade ago, 15 years ago, when they decided that they were going to get rid of their investigative reporting ideas. Because I tell you, I read those stories, and I know I'm not the only one. And there's some awfully good writers out there. Mm-hmm. And the Republic has some awfully good writers and some people who really know how to dig.
So what makes a great investigative reporter? I mean, you were one, have been one.
I think it is a sense of outrage that something is wrong. It is a sense of wanting to expose all the issues so people can see what's going on. Only when we understand how things work can we help make them better, right? As long as we're in the dark, as long as we're fuzzy about what's going on. I mean, and if there's any time to express that, it is because the whole thing of Trump coming up and his unbelievable amount of lies, obfuscations, total sidestepping, total idiocies. I mean, none of that would have been possible, I wouldn't think, in a society that's supposed to be an educated democracy. And yet here we're watching this incredible phenomena and we're saying, who are these people who are falling for this junk, right?
Well, so it sounds like the sequel to Funeral Hot Dish, there might be an idea in there, I guess.
There might be an idea in there. Yes, there might be. Absolutely.
So now you've written many different genres. As we wrap up, you've done investigative reporting. You've done a children's book.
Yes.
Now you've done a mystery book. But as far as what we'll call true crime, I don't
right.
want to lump it in there. So what's next? You've written about Deborah Mielke.
I have. That's going to be probably my last nonfiction book. And it's the story of Deborah Mielke, the woman who just got off death row, who the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals overturned her conviction and her death sentence. And then the Arizona Appeals Court agreed and said, you know, this is a stain on the judicial system of Arizona. I mean, it is an outrageously awful case of taking half of a woman's life. So I wrote about that, and it's going to be published in German on March 3rd. So we're still waiting for an American publisher, but we hope that there's going to be one soon.
Jana Boomersbach, award-winning journalist. Her new book, it's a mystery. It's called Funeral Hot Dish, and it features a protagonist called Joya Bonner going after Sammy the Bull Gravano. Jana, thanks as always.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.